Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my trusty co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Doing well. Excited to do another podcast.
It's always fun, isn't it?
It is.
Tracy's with us. How you doing, Tracy?
I am just fine today.
And that's Matt's fun. Doing our engineering. How are you doing, Matt? Thumbs up. Yeah. We're excited to talk about this. This is a problem that we really want to help people with. Tell us, what's the title of today's podcast, Cody?
So we titled it Work is a Verb. And tell us what we mean by that, Pat.
You know, too often we think of work as a noun in terms of we go after a job or a career, and we think about it in terms of, you know, the title that we're going to have, or the field that we're in, or the company we're going to work for. What does their logo look like, and is it cool, and do they have good perks? And ultimately, work comes down to the nature of the tasks you do every day. And this is something that bleeds right into Working Genius. And we thought about, is this a Working Genius podcast? We think it's bigger than that, because we think there's a real problem in society that people pursue jobs and careers for the wrong reasons, and then they wonder, why am I not happy? And it's because work, first and foremost, is a verb. It's what we do.
Yeah, I like when people ask questions about, you know, when you're at a barbecue, for example, on the weekend, I much prefer the question, what do you do, over where do you work? And it's sort of related to the same thing. If you ask where do you work, that's sort of the idea of like, what logo is on the outside of your building versus what it is you do. But there are so many people that actually focus way more on the logo on the building versus what I do day to day.
And it really doesn't make sense. You know, some people say, well, I work for this company and it's famous. And people are like, really? That's so cool. No, what you do is more about who you are and what you enjoy doing. And I used to always say I'd rather do organizational work for a garbage company than be an accountant at Disney. Because, you know, everybody said, I want to work at Disney. It's the happiest place on earth. And it's not, of course. But it's what you do is what matters far more than where you do it. Now, that's not to say that the company's culture doesn't matter, because it does. It's huge. Don't work for a company where you don't meet their values. The problem is, even if you work at a company where you meet their values, if you're not doing something that brings you joy and energy, you know, the best you got is at least you get to tell people at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter what company you work with. That's going to be all the upside you got.
Well, and I do think that there are so many people out there. We talked about this, Pat, before the podcast, is like when you're in college, I think that this is where it starts, because people start to ask, what do you want to do after college? And it's ingrained in college students' mind to talk about the company they want to work for versus the type of work they want to do. And this is where Working Genius does play a role, where you might even say a field like, oh, I want to work in marketing. But we have to get more specific and start asking people like, what type of work, what do you actually want to do in that field or at that company, rather than, hey, my business card says XYZ on it. And I actually experienced this myself, Pat, where I got a job, we've talked about it a couple times on the podcast, at a startup in San Francisco that was growing really, really rapidly. And San Francisco is the place where people go to try to get into a startup really early. And that was kind of fun to say, like, oh, I'm at a small startup. But when it came down to it and people said, well, what do you do? I was sending 250 emails a day and, you know, measuring the size of jeans that people were returning and things that actually were not that sexy or fun to do, and ultimately was not a good fit for me. But the allure of just saying like, that's where I worked, as opposed to what I did, those were very different ways, like even levels of satisfaction describing it between those two things.
Oh yeah. This hit me in the face after I graduated from college. Cause like most students, and heck, a lot of people that are changing their careers, we're not sure, you know, right. We haven't understood what activities we really want to do. And so this company came along and it was called Bain & Company. And it was a management consultant. And the book that was written that year said this was the number one place to work in America. That year, people said, the best place if you're a college grad to work is Bain. So the name Bain was everywhere. And it was management consulting, which to me sounded really good because I liked people, and managing people sounded interesting. And consulting was like, oh, I'm going to give people advice. I love that. I still do. That's what I do. It was in a beautiful office in San Francisco with sweeping views of the San Francisco Bay. And every night that you worked past 6 o'clock, you got to have free dinner from any restaurant you wanted to get the food from. I mean, this sounded like the world's greatest job. And it was so miserable for me because the work they had me doing was, as it turns out now, the two things I hate most in work. Mm-hmm. It was sit around and wait for somebody to tell you to do something and do whatever they tell you to do without any questions asked, no discernment, no invention, and then make sure it's perfect. Make sure there's never a typo. It's all, and like Tracy's going to laugh, she's my book editor. It's like, you couldn't design a worse job for me. And yet halfway through it, I was like, I am a loser. I'm a fraud. I'm not successful at this. What is the problem? Everything other than the work itself was perfect. And it was a miserable experience for me. And how many people are listening to this thinking, I've been in that situation too?
I would bet if there are people listening to this, this is what's so interesting. What you just described is how I feel like jobs are marketed often. Like, here are the perks. Like, you get a stipend for dinner, or if you get to go out for lunch. They don't actually describe the job, the day-to-day. I mean, certainly they put together a job description, but when you ask the question behind those questions about like, so what does that actually look like day-to-day? There's some jobs, they should do the same thing as it relates to the marketing they do for the perks of the job with the actual job itself to say, hey, if you love this type of work, you're going to love it here. And if you love, like, you know, for me, if it was a galvanizing type role where I get to motivate people to take action or use my discernment, those things are more attractive than a lunch stipend, but we spend way more time and energy thinking about the perks, like, oh, you get a 401k, or oh, you get a matching grant for how your contribution there, and very little time exploring like the how satisfying will this be to me. And then you wake up one day and realize, boy, I do have that, you know, that logo on my business card, but I'm more miserable than I ever thought I'd be because I didn't do the due diligence around the job itself.
Yeah, when I worked at Bain, I remember I had more great food at night that did not taste good. Like, we would like, hey, here's more food from a gourmet restaurant. And I'd be like, oh, if I could just be at home doing something I enjoyed eating Taco Bell, I'd be really happy right now.
Yeah.
So nothing makes up for being frustrated in the actual work. And that wasn't their fault. That was mine for taking a job that I didn't know what it entailed. Hey, you know something? Here's a more embarrassing story. For 3 summers during college, what a knucklehead I was. I was a bank teller, and I will tell you why. This is so embarrassing. I saw the movie Gremlins when I was a kid, which is this, you know, like pseudo horror, silly movie. And the main character was this good looking, cool guy, and he was a bank teller. And I thought, that looks nice. He's wearing a tie, and the girls like him, and he seems to be doing okay. They never showed him like counting food stamps or issuing traveler's checks or whatever the things, which I'm terrible at all that stuff. And I thought, I'll be a bank teller. And I did that for 3 summers and I hated it. I would stare at the clock while it ticked backward. And because I took that job for all the wrong reasons. And there's a lot of people listening to this. We stay in those jobs and we think, well, it's probably something wrong with me. I just need to work harder or appreciate this more. And it's like, no, you're in the wrong job.
I love this topic because this is the point of what we do, is that we believe work should be dignifying and fulfilling. And it's not the title that you have, it's the actual day-to-day experience and the way you're contributing and adding value to the company or even impacting the lives of the customers that of the business that you work for. So this is very much core to what we do. And I would bet that there's a handful of people that are listening to this who are like, boy, I am in one of those jobs where I don't love it. It's not bringing me joy and energy. And I would hope that there's a few people listening to this to go that it gives them a little bit of a push or a shove to say, should I consider doing something else? Because I think people do spend far too many years thinking, well, I've sunk costs. I've been here for 10 years. I don't want to change. But the cost of staying in a job that doesn't bring you joy and energy over the course of, you know, a decade or more is enormous.
Yes. And one of the things that you can do listening to this as well is not just apply it to yourself. And you might not even have to leave your company. You know, you might just have to go and say, hey, I always thought I wanted to work in this field. I know I got my degree in it. I know I've been doing it for a long time. this isn't working. And you might be able to work that out in your company. But help your friends and your loved ones and your family members when they're thinking about taking a job or they're going about doing something, help them break it down into the verb part of their job rather than all the nouns. And, you know, a friend of mine told me a great story yesterday. There's this guy named Parker Palmer who wrote a book called, I think it's called The Courage to Lead or something like that. I can't quite remember. But anyway, he was in the field of education and he was about to take a job being the president of a college. And his friends said to him, hey, you know, that's a pretty administrative job. You know, that job is a lot of administration. And the courage to teach, that's his name. Thank you, Matt. And this guy loved teaching. But he was about to take the job as the president of a college. And his friend said, why do you want to take that job? And he had the courage to say, because I like the idea of my picture being the newspaper with the word president underneath it. And of course, he didn't take the job. But how many people thought, yeah, I always wanted to be a politician or work in high tech or be the chief marketing officer or work in professional sports or for whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, but what about the work?
Yeah. I have a personal friend, Pat, who sounded very, very sexy. He got a job. I don't know if we should disguise the name of it. I'll call it Silverman Sachs. He got a job at this really great company called Silverman Sachs. And he was doing some credit risk analysis for them. And everyone who asked him where he worked, he got to say the name of that company. And it all sounded very, very good. But when you asked him, he would always say it with sort of a dejected, they'd be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I've heard of that company. That's a great place to work. And he would be like, yeah, you know, and for all the same reasons that you mentioned, the perks that are there and the idea of moving up in the company. And he finally came to terms with he wasn't being utilized well. He felt like he could find a role that fit his working genius and his interests a lot better. And he now works, he's still in finance, sort of like the accounting finance industry, but he works for a trucking company now. And so he left that sexy role to do it for what is a completely unsexy business in the trucking industry, but he is way more fulfilled. And now when the people ask him where he works, like I think of this, if you were sitting next to someone on an airplane and they're in a role and you ask them what they do for work, how they say what they do for work is an indication of whether their job is fulfilling or not. You know, like if they want to talk about it and they're passionate, you're like, boy, that sounds amazing. But if they lead into that conversation with a little bit of trepidation and you can see that like, boy, I don't want to talk about work. I just want more and more people to be on airplanes going like, boy, here's what I do at my role. And it's super fulfilling regardless of what the brand name is or where they do it.
Isn't that interesting? And like when you say to somebody that if somebody says, I'm in college, we always say, oh, where do you go to college?
Right.
And the first question should probably be, what are you studying? You know, like, what are you learning about? And if they say, well, I go to this school. Oh, that's great. Well, not if they're not studying something they're interested in and not if they're ever going to not use it and they don't enjoy what they're doing. But as we say, like, where do you work? Instead of like, tell me about what you love to do at work. Mm-hmm. And that's actually taking an interest in that person. And here's the thing. Companies need to be more diligent about this too. When somebody comes and says, I'm applying for this job, they should really try to filter out their interest in everything other than the work. Do mm-hmm. you want this job? So companies have to play a part in this too, because they can warn people about the fact that they're probably not going to like that job. I mean, it would not have taken those people at the bank very long, or Bain for that matter, to ask me a few questions and go, oh yeah, yeah, we'd love to hire you, except that you would hate it and you'll be terrible. So we're not going to.
Right.
That would have been a huge gift to me. But I guess that's how we learn.
As we're talking about this, it's like, so why do we do this? There's a common like social pressure. It seems like that we've collectively thought of work more around status and prestige than we have around dignity and fulfillment. And if we just switch that, where it didn't matter what your status was or what it said on your business card or what logo was on the outside of your building. In fact, just yesterday, a guy came to clean our windows in our house because I've got windows way too high. I don't want to be on a ladder. We have young kids. But he was telling me where he worked beforehand. And he worked at a company that I recognize the name of. And he's like, ultimately, I left. And now he runs a window washing company that he loves doing. He has 5 employees. And if there shouldn't be a stigma about any of that. Like if we have this underlying mentality that work is meant to be fulfilling, then it doesn't matter where you work or what you do or what the title is. You should want to wake up every day, do that job, do it well, and add value to the people you serve. When you open the podcast every week with, so that work is more dignifying and fulfilling, that's the underlying message of this whole podcast.
Yeah. You know, Matt and I were talking just before we came on, Cody, about two guys we know who went to liberal arts colleges, the private liberal arts colleges, and they spent a lot of money. And they came out of school, took their first job, and said, I want to be a firefighter. And good for them for having the courage to go be firefighters. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. One guy's been doing it for 25 years, loves it. The other guy's been doing it for 5 years, loves it. But think how hard it was for them to go, oh yeah, I don't want to do the things that society was telling me I was supposed to do. I love doing this job, which is why I love Mike Rowe, you know, from Dirty Jobs. Oh, yeah. Because he celebrates people who love their work and don't let society tell them what they should be doing based on some false idea of prestige or status, but who just love their work. And if you like grabbing alligators and finding out if they're a girl or a boy by sticking your finger up their bottom and then putting them in a farm and raising them to be adult alligators, if that's what you love doing, all the power to you. You're a happy person. But if you're working at some prestigious company and you're in the marketing department and you're miserable, man, I guess every day you get your paycheck, you can have a little bit of consolation, but it's not worth it.
This podcast is really hitting me right now. I have a recent college grad and I struggled with this very concept with him because of the social pressures you were talking about, Cody. He felt so much pressure around getting a prestigious job at a big company. And it just, my nephew, same thing. And in fact, he wants to become a firefighter and he feels guilty about it.
Oh.
And it's awful. It's such a shame. So this particular topic, I'm going to go home and talk to my kids.
Yeah. You know what's funny? And a person could become a firefighter for the wrong reason too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, since I've been a kid, I wanted to be a fireman. It's like, okay, let's see. How do you like living in a place where you have to be there for 2 days in a row and you got to make your own meals, you got to roll up hoses, you got to do drills, you got to get up in the middle of the night. And some people go, that sounds so fun. And it's like, mm-hmm. Good for you. And other people are like, no, I kind of just think chicks will dig me if I have, you know, roll up to the grocery store and think, you know, I mean, you can pursue the wrong job for a variety of reasons. It's all about what you love to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be doing.
Just this last week, we had a family gathering here and I have a cousin who fits the bill and he has sort of shed all of those societal pressures and feeling guilty about that. And he literally travels around seasonally and is a river raft guide. And like he's done it in here in the United States, he's done it. He's going to India next month to do it for a little bit. And in the context, he wasn't at the family gathering, but his mother was there and a few of our relatives. And they were having this very conversation about like, well, shouldn't he get a real job, like in air quotes, shouldn't he get a real job with benefits? Like, isn't this going to be hard for him later in his life? And he's in his mid-30s or something like that. And it was so interesting to see his mom, who's totally embraced the fact that he is completely fulfilled. This is the life that he wants. And that they've taken on the sort of mentality that like work is meant to be fulfilling. Whereas other people were in the family were like worried about all those other societal elements of it. Like, shouldn't he be advancing his career and shouldn't he be saving more money and all of those things? But he is, every time I see him, he is one of the more happy, fulfilled people as he comes through because he's doing what he loves and he's shed that idea of like needing to do something because everybody else thinks he needs to.
He's probably miserable when he has to go to those events and explain to people who are like lamenting the fact that he doesn't have benefits or something. Now, but having said this, we have to be realists. And I think about all the avatars that listen to this podcast that I think about, you know, the Garth and Joy and Christian and Will and people like that. And they're thinking, yeah, but we do want our kids to be able to have a life. So some of those things matter. They do. And maybe your cousin will one day say, you know, I need to settle down, but I'm still going to find a job that allows me to do the things I love to do. So there's nothing wrong with finding a job that has benefits or allows you to build a house and a family, but don't think, and this is what people do, well, I've had my fun. I'm 35 years old. It's time to hate work for the next 30 years just so that I can pay bills. And that's what happens. You know, my dad, God rest his soul, used to say, hey, Pat, if it were fun, they wouldn't call it work. And that's how so many people grew up. And I think we need to go, no, we can make minor trade-offs, but if it takes us out of the things we love to do, it just doesn't pay off. And I think that's something we all have to keep in mind. The other thing I want to say is when I think about all those avatars, all of them have kids that are either in college or getting out of college. And what a great thing to do what your aunt does for your cousin. And that is to be the kind of parent or friend or guide that encourages people to understand the actual verbs that they enjoy and say, don't pursue a job that takes you out of your genius because God intended you to like your work. Mm-hmm. And so you can either be somebody who encourages people to give in to all the nouns like perks and titles and logos, or you can be the kind of person that encourages somebody to do something they love. And that can make all the difference at a turning point in someone's life.
Yeah. And I know, Pat, we said at the beginning, this isn't a working genius podcast, but it would be bad podcasting if we didn't say, hey, the first step in figuring this out is knowing what type of work gives you energy and joy. What are the verbs of that? And the working genius assessment, I will just say this personally. I used to sort of ballpark know what I was good at and what I enjoyed doing, but the first step was figuring it out. And once we put that model up on the board and I really honed in on, oh, these are the two activities, discerning and galvanizing, that I really love doing. Before that, it was sort of amorphous. Like, I kind of like the brainstorming, or I like when people present ideas to me. But really honing in on that would be a great first step for anyone listening to this who's like, I don't know what that is. I haven't had a job that's exercised that part of my, or that muscle for me. So go do Working Genius. It's a $25 assessment, takes 8 minutes to do. And start to figure out what are those activities that you enjoy doing that bring you joy and energy, because it can then make the difference of choosing a job after that, or recasting the role you currently have, or maybe exploring new opportunities.
You know, it's funny. My mom gave me the book when I was in high school called What Color Is Your Parachute? Written by Richard Bowles, who's passed away, God rest his soul. And I got to know him. Sweet guy and a great book, an amazing book. But it was huge and thick. And I, if people have done it, that's great. And I encourage you to read it. It's a fantastic book. But it wasn't until I struggled in that job at Bain that I actually went and did that book. Now, it took me like a week to go through it and write my story and figure all that stuff out. And I think what Working Genius does, it allows you in about 10 minutes to get at the heart of what happened through that. It's still good to read a great book like that. But in Working Genius, had I been able to have a tool that told me 32 years ago that find a job that allows you to do this and this, my career would have been a lot more directly connected to what I wanted to do. It just took me a lot longer to figure out. So that's a commercial for What Color Is mm-hmm. My Parachute by Richard Bowles, and for The Working Genius, and for pursuing work that gives you joy and energy. All righty. Thanks, everybody, for being with us today. We hope this is practical and useful for you. We appreciate your listening, and we'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.